Hey, everybody. My name's Dane.
And I'm Jimmy.
And our podcast is called Bubbling Questions.
We do would-you-rathers from listeners and a Twitter bot.
Along with one-person game shows using ridiculous stuff we find on the internet.
Like, what kind of dick are we talking?
I shall not tell you.
Okay. All from our very real hot tub.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Very real. Not a gimmick at all. Find Bubbling Questions wherever you get podcasts.
And I'm Jimmy.
Hi, you're listening to the Escapist Comics Podcast. I'm Jacob Rubin.
I'm Jessica Baldoni.
And we like comics. Or at least I think I do, right?
I think you do. I send them to you.
That's true.
Hopefully you read them.
Yeah, I read them. I read all of them. I'm reading more comics now than I did when I worked at the store, to be honest.
That's, you have more time.
Partially, yeah.
Yeah, I have read some comics. I've not had any time to really read since.
Sure.
We've had some people not be around recently, so I've worked even more.
Whack.
Yeah, but that's okay. I'm around comics constantly, so I just absorb them straight into my bloodstream. They're just.
As people are buying them, they say, "Oh, I read this. It's about this," and you're like, "Good, good. It's like I've read it."
Exactly. They just tell me about them, and they just psychically implant them into my brain.
You did read Nonstop Spider-Man.
I did read Nonstop Spider-Man a couple weeks ago. I think that came out.
Okay.
So sorry that we're not too recent on our readings of comics, but we will still tell you about them. So you read this more recently, as in yesterday.
I read this yesterday, yes.
And how did you...
We're recording on Monday, March 22nd. So depending on when you're listening to this, dear listener.
Yeah, we do have people that go back and listen to our episodes. I've heard recently.
Oh, okay, cool.
Which is great.
Nice.
Thank you for doing that, folks. We appreciate every listen we get.
Yeah. I really dug this.
Yeah, but well, when ordering this, Chris Buckhallow did the art, and he's still one of my favorite artists, famed Sandman artist, Chris Buckhallow. So I was really excited to see him back into it. I think most recently he was on Thor.
Which arc did he do in Sandman?
Or not Thor. Dollhouse? Or is that
really?
Sam Keith? Or is it later?
Sam Keith was the first book.
Sam Keith was the first one. I want to say Dollhouse. I could be wrong. It might have been later than that. Hold on. I will look it up. You start talking about this book.
I think that he did one of the Death miniseries.
Oh, he did do one of the Death. Yeah, he did.
He did do one issue from Doll's House. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And then he did both Death miniseries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is what I actually started in Sandman when I read Death first.
It was
and then I went into Sandman. Because I was like, ooh, a lady. I got a lady.
Death was, I mean, I could see why Neil Gaiman didn't ever do, like, I mean, if he came to DC and was like, I want to do a Death ongoing series, they would have just thrown money at it.
Oh, yeah.
But I kind of like that he exercised more restraint and used the character in those two miniseries, and then she got, like, a few special issues. That was about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was a good idea on his part to not be like, let's have the literal figure of Death be a star of this show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Plus Terry Pratchett did that, so.
Right. Doctor Strange was Chris Buckhello's most recent Marvel series.
Yeah, with the Mark Waid stuff. I thought that was great.
Jason Aaron.
That's correct.
Escapist podcast. We'll get it right eventually.
Yeah. Mark Waid's doing the current, Mark Waid's doing the Surgeon Supreme stuff right now, right?
Yeah, I think that's over though. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I did like it both. I mean, it's Doctor Strange. I just like Doctor Strange. Like, yeah, you know, too. There's very little Doctor Strange that I don't like.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted the Jason Aaron stuff to be a little bit better just because the art was so great. And like, Bacchellos, his stuff looks so weird. It's perfect for Doctor Strange. But
yeah.
I don't know. There was so much vomiting in that series.
Who has the best puke in comics, do you think? Who's the best vomit artist?
Scotty Young.
I'm gonna say, oh no, who's that guy? He does a lot of Mad Magazine, or he did a lot of Mad Magazine.
Sergio Argon.
Everything he drew. No, everything he drew looked like it was super stinky. Like it looked like his art smelled bad. Like he drew, when he would draw a city, it looked like you would walk around and get hepatitis.
Jack Kamen. I don't know. I'm just doing bad old Mad artists now.
This was like 90s, 2000s Mad Magazine.
Oh.
He would draw, and he drew puke a lot. I don't know. Never mind.
Okay.
Al Jaffe. Anyway.
right. That was my next
Dave Berg. Yeah. Al Jaffe turned 100 this month.
I know. He looks great.
Yeah. And he only retired from comics like 2 years ago.
I know. It's nuts.
Or maybe even last year. Yeah. He's like setting the world record for the longest career in comics.
I think there's just like a cartoon in Mad who was just like, leave me alone. Like,
yeah, good for him.
Oh yeah, so Spider-Man, did you like this
issue? Yeah, I thought it was neat. I like that. So as I was reading it, I was like, oh, they're kind of doing like Crank or Speed or whatever, but with Spider-Man. And then at the end they say explicitly, yes, that's what we're doing.
Right. yeah, Joe Kelly's a fun writer.
And yeah.
I mean, I'm glad to see him back at Marvel again too.
Yeah, he did a run on X-Men that I liked back in the day. Back in the 2000s, I think. Uncanny sure. X-Men.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he was on Uncanny X-Men for a little bit, I think.
Yeah. I think he invented Stacey X. Remember that weird character?
Stacey X.
Or maybe she was called X Stacey, and her power was she had like snake skin and she could excrete pheromones that made people feel like they were on ecstasy.
Was she related to Gwen Stacy?
No, because her first name was Stacey.
Okay. Anytime I just think of Stacey, I'm like, it has to be related.
I mean, maybe that is how names work. Stacey X. Oh no, her real name was Miranda Leibold.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't like on it. She had pheromone control.
Wait, like silk?
Whatever that means. Silk? The soy milk?
No, Silk the character from Spider-Man.
Oh, she is? Probably, yeah.
I don't know. Which I always thought was a creepy character because she's like, when she gets around Spider-Man, he gets all like jazzed and he's like attracted to her, but she's like 15.
Oh, yes.
I was like, that's a weird thing to put in the comic. Creepy.
Yeah.
Making Peter Parker a pedophile suddenly.
Yeah, I just watched this. Okay, so I watched this really dope, very, very brief. Do you dig on like cinematic anime much?
Cinematic anime,
like I don't really like anime like TV, but like, I love anime movies
like Akira.
Sure, yeah.
Or Nausicaa.
Yeah, but not necessarily adapted from manga. Like the Miyazaki movies aren't manga.
Yes, I mean I like the Miyazaki movies.
So I just watched a really dope one called Lou Over the Wall that's about mermaids, and it's about a musician who realizes that through his music, he can communicate with the mermaid community living in his like, the waters by his town.
Cool.
It's really cool. The music's good. The art is like dope and cartoony and the stakes are really high. It was really, really fun. But he's in middle school and the mermaid that he's like, but he's in middle school, but he's drawn and acts like an adult. And the mermaid that he's friends with is like acts like a little kid, and it's heavily implied that there's like romantic feelings between them. They never do anything, but I'm still like, this is a weird like pedophile movie, but it's not, because he's 13 and she's 10 maybe.
I mean, that's super common in anime in general, like Chobits, for example.
Sure. Yeah,
yeah, Like, she's a doll and not really a human, but she definitely looks like a child and he is a grown man. And they're definitely in love, but it's strange and it's weird. And that's in more, I mean, probably hundreds of different animes or mangas.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I mean, they just have like a weird fascination for childlike looking girls.
Yeah.
So, you? Somehow yeah, it's okay because they're not real. They're cartoons.
They're not real. None of it is real. The artists are real, and maybe they should be investigated, but.
Yeah, maybe they should.
But the characters are fun. Anyway, Nonstop Spider-Man. This was cool.
Yeah.
It's largely one action scene with a few flashbacks to tell us how we got here.
Right.
And it's got a dope backup story about who the villain is, which I won't spoil. But with art by one of my favorite artists that I haven't seen in a while, Dale
Keown? Is it, wait, who? What?
The backup artist who did the story at the end that reveals the villain. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A fan favorite, maybe?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, the art throughout this book is just great. I'm definitely on board. I'm going to read this series because I haven't really been reading Amazing Spider-Man too much.
Sure.
It's like every other issue, it's like new villain or new, you know, oh, now he has like a new costume and it's terrible, his new costume.
Yeah.
And I think
the thing that keeps me out of the loop when I pick up a new Spider-Man comic is I feel like every time there's a new supporting character that has a whole complicated backstory and relationship with Peter Parker, and I'm just like, I don't care about. I could care about a villain that I've never seen before, because villains can be like cool. But if it's like, my name's Bruce and I work at the Daily Bugle and my dad is an alcoholic, and I'm like, you lost me, Bruce. I don't care.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Or like, again,
and Peter's taught me how to read. Not for me.
Yeah, I mean, the last story that I really liked was the Spider-Verse with the Hereditaries? What was their name? Hereditary? No, that's a movie. Was that what they were called? Hereditaries?
Did not read that one, sorry. The ones that ate all
of the spider people.
Oh, like Morlin and his crew.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like Morlin's family. Yeah, I think they're called the... well, he was like an energy vampire. Hold on, I can look this up too.
Yeah.
I really like Morlin. I didn't realize how much I like Morlin.
That was like a good, solid new villain and like non-complicated. Well, Spider-Verse is complicated, obviously, but fun. And they can use it over and over again.
Yeah. They're called the Inheritors.
Inheritors. I was close.
You were close. Yeah.
But yeah,
you were closer than I was. My guess was the vampire gang.
They're related to Morbius.
Right. Yeah.
Can't wait for that movie to come out. Anywho.
I've been saying this. I think I might have even said this on the podcast. I think Morlun should be the villain in the next Spider-Verse movie because his power already involves traveling different dimensions. He's incredibly powerful. It would take multiple spider people to take him down. He's never been in a movie and he's cool looking.
He is cool looking. And he has a lot of family members.
Yeah.
They could all get involved.
Yeah. And they could show up. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be really fun. Yeah. That's probably not.
The wild thing about Spider-Verse, I don't know if we've talked about this before, but I thought about this the last time I watched it. It's the most high stakes Spider-Man movie because it's about the collapse of universes.
Right.
And yet the villain is one of the few Spider-Man villains with no powers at all. It's a Kingpin movie.
Yeah.
I think that's so weird. It's not a Doc Ock movie. It's not a friggin' Judas Traveler. Remember that guy?
Yes.
Or even Clone Saga. It's just like it's a guy who's good at crime.
Yep.
And they almost destroy all of existence. Yeah,
he is very big, cool, but that's about it.
And the way they drew him, he looked like a fridge. That was great.
Oh my God. It was great.
Yeah.
Well, who knows what's going to happen in that Sony Spider-Man movie? I mean, they are casting all of those people. I mean, Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield.
Is that, okay. Is this real? Is this actually happening?
It is actually happening, supposedly.
Okay. Yeah, like that's, I see all these things. Like I think we talked about this when we, because did we do an episode talking about the end of WandaVision?
No, not yet.
No, we haven't, okay.
We do have to talk about it on this episode.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about what happened at the end of WandaVision. I'm just going to talk about what didn't happen. And what didn't happen is Mephisto, Reed Richards, or the X-Men.
Yes. It's very
And how it like so many, there's so many fans and so much comics journalism about this means this, and this is a clue that will lead to this, and this means this. And I thought it was so fucking cool that Marvel was just like, oh no, we didn't want to do that.
But it was so mean. And I know there's so many articles about like, oh, well, all the comics people got tricked and blah, 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 because all of these things didn't happen. And I was like, but it was a little mean. It was a little mean that you put all of that stuff out there.
And then there was one thing that the casting of Evan Peters as Quicksilver was the one thing where it was like, that was a deliberate troll move. They were fucking with us. Yeah. But all the inferring about Reed Richards and Mephisto was that was all on the fans and their runaway imaginations.
Yeah. I was fine with that. The Quicksilver thing was the thing that made me a little bit mad, obviously.
That was a bit trolly, yeah.
That was a bit jerky. And Doctor Strange also not coming in at the very, very, very end on the second part.
Oh, post-credits?
The second ending, you know?
Yeah.
Because that whole scene is directly from Scarlet Witch series where he's training her. And I was like,
oh, sure.
No, can just like.
Well, maybe they'll take that moment. The extended cut of that moment will be the Doctor Strange movie, and they'll show her like in the cabin, and he shows up to be like, I'm here now.
Yeah. You've been bad or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'll take it. It was a really good series. I enjoyed it.
It was fantastic. And it was about grief. And it was like not the big. I think that. Should we just get into Falcon? Well, okay. No, we're still talking about comics.
Oh, comics.
Technically. Anyway, Nonstop Spider-Man, if you're looking for a fun Spider-Man adventure, check it out.
Yeah, that's not related to Amazing or whatever. Good series. Second issue comes out in a couple weeks. Check your local comic book store or Escapist Comics.
Yes.
Still in the Marvel universe, we have X-Men Legends number one. For whatever reason, the 90s have made a full comeback. And Marvel has taken full advantage of this.
Yeah.
By releasing this comic, X-Men.
Well, what's 100% happening here, and I think they even say this in the comic, is I don't know how to. Do you know how to pronounce Fabian's last name? Nicenza.
Nicenza.
Huh?
Nicenza.
There's no second N.
I just like pretending there is.
Okay. It was definitely like, this is the story that I would have told if I hadn't been kicked off X-Men, if I had had all the time, if they hadn't put on a different writer. So I'm just going to do it now. Fuck it. Whatever. And I can see why they kicked him off, because this is ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And it literally just like, I mean, I know he draws, like, so this is Brett Booth, right? That's drawing this.
Correct.
Yeah, Brett Booth. So Brett Booth literally just looked at Rob Liefeld and Jim Lee's art and was like, I'm going to just copy it directly. It's going to look, and it looks mostly like Rob Liefeld, I think. It's got Jim Lee thrown
in. I'd say more like Jim Lee, but it's definitely both.
Okay.
Like the way he draws Hepzibah, the way he draws Hepzibah is super Jim Lee.
Oh, I'm looking at a Cable here. And it just looks like, ugh. So it's so Liefeld as well. I mean, it doesn't have enough couches and guns, but.
No, that looks Jim Lee to me too. Like, this doesn't look super. I mean, there's definitely, like, his faces are very Liefeld, but I'd say everything else is more Jim Lee.
Yeah. I'll give you that. The body angles are very Jim Lee.
So let's talk about what exactly. So, okay, brief recap. This is largely about the Summers Brothers. They've been hinting at there being a third Summers Brother since the 70s.
Yeah.
No, 80s, maybe. Anyway. They kept almost about to do it. There have been a number of characters who were apparently supposed to be it. Gambit, apparently. One idea they had was to have Gambit be the third Summers Brother at some point.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think they never really did anything with it, but they were like talking about it, and they were like, that's why his eyes are weird. All right.
Oh, that's why they glow red or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they didn't follow through on that. And then finally, we got the canon third Summers Brother in Vulcan. But this apparently Fabian wanted Adam X to be the third Summers Brother. So this is the story where they're like, they're really going to do it. Adam X is a full on fucking fan fiction character. I cannot. There's no other way for me to put it. He's a mutant. He's raised by the Shi'ar. Despite being raised by the Shi'ar his entire life, they gave him a human name, which they say in the text of the comic doesn't make any sense. He has Wolverine claws that he wears, but also his eyes glow, and his power is to boil people's blood in their own bodies.
Yeah, I don't know. It's so he has like the photon powers, right? But it's inside, like a telekinetic photon thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Sure.
He's capable of outmaneuvering Cyclops, Havoc, Hepzibah, and Ra'Za all at once.
He's that good.
He's that good. The fact that he wears, he doesn't like have, I mean, he has those bladed weapons that look like mini sides that are whatever, but he also has straight up Wolverine claws that he just wears around.
Right. Yeah, they're like, and, I don't, they look kind of like, I don't know, what are, I'm trying to compare him to another character that has like that armor on. I can't think of that.
Kind of like, oh yeah, he looks like, oh man, I know exactly what you're talking. Oh, Shatterstar,
yeah, I like that. Yeah. So it's all of those three characters combined.
Another Rob Liefeld joint.
Exactly. And he has to wear a backwards hat as well and a belly shirt.
At some point. And his crazy flowing Goku Super Saiyan level 4 hair.
Oh yeah, his glowing blonde locks.
And his ripped jeans.
Oh yeah. He's the most 90s thing you'll ever see.
Yeah.
Nope.
yeah, and is he blood related to Cyclops? Is he their full brother or half brother?
I think he's their half brother, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And also, why are the Starjammers bad guys in this?
I have no idea. It makes no sense. I don't know.
Yeah, like at the very end, Corsair shoots. I mean, I'd imagine the second issue is out by now. I don't know if you've read
it. Not yet,
Oh, okay.
It's late.
And they brought back Eric the Red, another friggin' X-Men character with the murkiest, most confusing origin because it was originally Cyclops, sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying this wasn't a fun book to read, but I am saying that it's ridiculous and maybe is why people aren't reading comics anymore.
Yeah, or why this 90s style definitely died, because this style of story is just absolutely over the top and ridiculous.
But there are probably a few people who will wander to a comic book store and see this and go, oh, like the cartoon, like what I grew up with, and they'll buy it, and that's, you know, I hope they enjoy themselves.
Yeah, I mean, we sold quite a few copies of this, all to men.
Sure.
I think it's going to be like a novelty, you know?
And yeah.
And we'll sell probably half as many issues of the second one, and that will be that. I don't think this is going to be a long, ongoing thing whatsoever.
Right.
Yeah. X-Men Legends, everyone.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, if you really, really like X-Men, this is, especially if you like X-Men of a certain era, looks like going by the cover, Apocalypse is going to show up at some point. Sure. This just isn't what I want out of X-Men comics anymore.
No, I mean, it's a bygone era, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the last thing we both read Carmen.
Yeah. Carmen by Dylan March, who I believe is a Alien, I want to say. Could be Spanish. Don't quote me on that.
I believe that. This art reads very Italian to me.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, we'll just say European. Get away with that. This is from Image Comics. And I want to say this was definitely released in Europe first. It has that, like, that whole vibe. And then brought over here. I was really excited when I first saw art from this before we ordered it, because it looked absolutely amazing. But this is definitely a weird, strange comic.
Not for everyone. I will say that the I mean, again, I don't really want to spoil anything, but the whole comic hinges on a suicide, and they show it somewhat graphically. So if that's something that makes you not want to buy a comic, then don't buy this comic.
Yeah, I was going to say there's a trigger warning for sure. There's a pretty graphic depiction of suicide in this, and I was not expecting that. I was expecting that at first as well. So, and then pretty much what happens is like an out of body experience after that, and somebody flowing through time and space throughout the rest of the issue and discovering what she has done.
That's what I got out of it. it's this girl, Kata, short for Catalina. Kills herself, and they set up sort of what her life is like, and then the character of Carmen, who is you'll see on the cover has an entirely invisible body. Like, her skeleton is visible, her skin and organs, everything are just a black silhouette, so you just see her skeleton, although in certain shots you can see that she has nipples.
Right.
Actually, a lot of shots, they definitely did that on purpose. They angled it in such a way that you could see her nipples poking out.
Right.
Is kind of like, you know, the Grim Reaper, is kind of like Death, but is coming to Kata for a specific purpose, and is like showing her around, and then it's Catalina walking around fully nude. Everything out. And she can fly, and sort of treating it like a dream. The art is like an adventure. That's the only way I can think to describe it. It's so trippy and cool.
It's absolutely beautiful. The color palette is amazing. It's more on like the pastels, but like dark pastels. I think it's just absolutely gorgeous. And there's a lot of reading, but it flows really, really well, I thought.
There was a lot of text up top, like those first couple pages with that weird like line squiggling through the circles and lines and everything, like a lightning bolt. That's talking about how dream was work. I'm like, all right. But then once you get into it, it moves really nicely.
Yeah.
And there's also a lot more fart jokes that I've ever seen in a mainstream comic.
Yeah. I think that's part of the European appeal of it almost. Like, I don't know. I'm like, about suicide, and it's weird. And then there's a lot of fart jokes, and I'm like, huh, interesting. All right, I'll go with it.
Carmen farts really loud at one point when she's talking to Kata in the bathroom, and then there's another one, but I don't remember. But then at the very end, when she teaches Kata to fly, she goes, "Have you ever thought of propelling yourself by farting? You might go faster." I'm like, "What's all this? What's all this fart material?"
It's almost like Charlie in the Chocolate Factory, but about death.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this. I'll definitely be keeping up with it. I think it's only like a 4-issue miniseries. Really interesting book.
So there's one thing that I definitely want to say about this comic, and also I don't know if you saw the news today that apparently they're going to increase the price of DC comics.
DC comics?
Yeah.
No.
I saw something. I saw something that said that they were going to increase the price of Batman to $6 a comic, $5.99.
That's just one of the Batman comics.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was like Batman New Detective, and it's a 5-issue miniseries. So I don't.
Oh, okay, so it's just.
Yeah, as far as I know.
Is it going to be like? Is it going to be like nice format, like three Jokers, or is it just going to be?
Yeah, regular? It's like a double size issue.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's
regular Batman is still $3.99 or like $4.99 for like the variant cover.
Yeah.
So,
because I read this, and I read Joker. I don't know if you read Joker.
I didn't read Joker. How was Joker?
Yeah, it's cool. Basically, takes place in Infinite Frontier. The boiler, the basics is Joker hasn't been in Arkham for a long time, but he set up some bombs to go off months after he left that were of Joker gas, and it killed a bunch of people in Arkham, including inmates, including Bane and Scarecrow. Yeah.
Wait,
So I think this is Infinite Frontier.
Oh, Infinite Frontier. Okay.
So maybe, who knows? and then apparently has hightailed, and the whole story is told from Commissioner Gordon's perspective. Batman's barely in it. It's mostly about Gordon, like talking about his personal, how the Joker shot Barbara and had a hand in the death of his other son and all this other stuff.
Right.
So then this, and apparently the Joker, so then this wealthy lady and her disfigured manservant find Gordon, bring him to their house, say, we found the Joker. He's in Belize. We want you to go down to Belize. And we'll give you and take care of it. We'll give you $25 million. We know you're retired. He's also retired. He just retired from Gotham City Police Department. Because we think that you're the biggest expert on the Joker. And he's like, no, I'm not. And they're like, we're not going to get the one who is the biggest. You're the biggest we're going to get.
They're like, wait a minute.
Yeah. He's like, you want Batman? They're like, we don't. And he's like, I can't just go down to Belize and capture the Joker. And they're like, no, we want you to kill the Joker.
Ooh.
So... Not yeah, and so sure. he's considering, like, all right, he doesn't want to kill anybody, but it's $25 million, and it's the fucking Joker, so... Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'd do it, shit.
Yeah, $25 million.
$25 million, and, like, the guy... And I'd also get to kill the guy who shot my daughter and killed my son? Like, right? Come on.
Yeah, that's not a bad trade-off. I mean, cops kill people all the time.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh. Shots fired.
Literally.
Yeah, really. Yikes. Yeah, I love how I don't want fucking cop stories in my comics anymore. I want Commissioner Gordon to just be a private detective who's friends with Batman. Like, that's great.
Yeah. Oh, they're just buddies.
Yeah. They're just buddies.
You're just buddies.
Maybe he's a former cop who quit because fuck cops, you know?
Right.
Yeah, he saw a Black Lives Matter protest and he's like, oh, I should quit.
He's like, I'm done with this.
Also, the Joker on the cover has only one eye and his other eye is stitched shut.
That's weird.
But in the comic, he has both eyes. It's sewn shut, yeah. I'll hold it up to the...
No. Huh. Maybe. That's weird. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we've been doing... I think it's finally over, but the future state stuff is so, and I didn't see anything about Joker and that with a sewn shut eye, but it's over now that we're going back to normal again for, I don't even know what all of it had to, why that had to happen, but it was just like a break, I guess, for everyone.
But my point is, this comic was $5 and it has an ad on every fourth page. Carmen is $3.99 and has no ads, even at the end.
Yeah.
I know that's just how Image gets down, but also Proctor Valley Road, another comic that you sent me, but you didn't read, but I did read, and it's cool. It's Grant Morrison, but, like, different.
Right.
It's a bit more grounded. Because it's he rewrote it with someone named, like, Alice Child or something.
Mm-hmm.
Alex. Yeah. Weird, it seems like it'll be a cool little horror book. Takes place in the 70s, I think. No ads, except at the very end, and also costs $3.99. So I don't get why DC is like, we're going to increase, and Marvel, we're going to increase the title, the cost on all our books, especially issue number ones. We're going to chalk them full of ads, both in-house and external, and we're going to charge more than Boom and Image. But they know that people will buy it because they're the big guys.
That's what they think, but they are increasing the page numbers for those books. So there should still be like 40 pages of, I mean, there should still be 40 pages of story, right? Mm-hmm. That's what they say anyways. We'll see if that's actually the case, but there should be, I don't know, we'll see. Yeah, I don't know, like also with Batman, if it's just new detective, so that's the Lucius Fox's son, Batman, doing it with a new character. I mean, that book did sell pretty well, but we'll see if it continues upping the price and doing two different stories in it, if that continues to sell well. I guess we'll find out. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess they also think like charging more and making it more of a graphic novel sized, people will jump on, but I mean, paying for that monthly is another thing than paying for one graphic novel every couple months or whatever. So
if you're willing to wait and not get the story of the day it comes out, then
in a trade,
why not just buy the trade? Yeah,
Yeah. I mean, they're also doing that digital first thing too with a bunch of their series, which is very unfortunate. Mm-hmm. And though I don't know a lot of people that do the digital first thing either. So, I mean, who wants to read a comic on their phone? I don't. Okay. We got
to
get
into... Is that really all I wanted to... Oh, yeah. Should we get into Falcon Winter Soldier?
Yes, let's talk in Winter Soldier, and we have to get into the Snyder Cut, unfortunately.
Yeah. We'll do that at the end.
Yeah. Oh, God. All right. What'd you think?
I thought it was cool. I mean, it's a first episode, so it's like, what can really happen? It's sort of just setting up. I mean, it didn't have the same, like, what the fuck is going on that the first WandaVision, or first two episodes on that first week, but
it's more of like a spy slash what action show than
this is what was supposed to be the first MCU show, and this would have been way more like, you know, the movies coming to this, and it is a bummer for this show that it's coming on the tails of WandaVision, a show that took everybody by surprise and really showed what Marvel was capable of doing. If this had been the first show to come out, people would have been like, yeah, this is good. This is what we want. This is what we're used to. This is a sufficient follow-up to Endgame. Great.
Right.
But because we got this incredibly disruptive, unique take that now I feel like people are going to look at this and go, oh, it's just
a Marvel show.
Spy shit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think it'll definitely still be fun. And it was. It was a fun, I mean... The first opening scene with, you know, Falcon evading or like doing his thing, being a
hero. Guys in squirrel suits.
Yeah.
I watched it with Annie, and 4 minutes in, she's like, so does he have powers or does he just have a backpack?
Yeah, he has a backpack. That's pretty much it. I still wish Red Wing was real and not just a toy.
Yeah.
That'd be more fun because he talks to a Falcon and then he does have powers.
His power is that he's psychically linked, right?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah, to a Falcon, which is fun.
That is fun.
Yeah. less fun when he's not.
Less fun when it's a robot that he gives vague directions to and then it just does whatever he wants.
Right.
Because it's Stark technology, I guess. Sure.
Yeah. Did you recognize...
I thought that first fight scene was really cool, though.
It was really cool. Did you recognize who the bad guy was? Like the super bad guy?
In the episode?
Yeah, in the episode. Like that beat.
Well, I mean, like from the comics. I mean, Flag Smasher is a character in the comics that I know nothing about.
But... Okay. That's what I was asking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No.
I was like, he's very strong. And
it's a group.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Nuke. He might be another part of the Weapon Plus project.
Yeah. Nuke was in Daredevil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was he was. He was actually
in Daredevil, yeah.
Yeah.
In Punisher, too. I mean, that's where he...
Yeah. Oh, I think it was Jessica Jones.
Oh, was he in Jessica Jones? He crossed over, didn't he? Or was he just in Jessica Jones?
I mean...
Oh, because Punisher,
I didn't watch most of those shows. Like, I watched...
Was great.
I watched both seasons of Daredevil and Jessica Jones, and that's it.
Yeah, well, they all kind of mushed into each other.
And then Iron Fist happened in the defense, and everyone said Iron Fist was really bad. And I don't know.
I didn't mind the second season because he was in it a lot less.
Great. That's what you want.
Yeah.
Too much of the main character.
Yep, he sucks.
Get rid of it.
Yeah. It was all about the Daughters of the Dragon. That would have been a good show.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was when Bucky, I felt like I kept waiting for Bucky too. I was like, where's Bucky? When is he gonna come on? Mm-hmm. And then he finally did in the news and, you know, having therapy sessions, which were funny, I thought, actually.
Yeah.
Somebody
posted a GIF from, Endgame with the caption, do you think that, Bucky told his therapist about this? And it's at the end of Endgame when he's holding, Rocket Raccoon by the scruff of his neck and who's firing a machine gun, and Bucky's also firing a machine gun and he's spinning in circles.
That's pretty good. I think that was like one of my favorite scenes, you know, when he's like working out his shit like with his therapist. Mm-hmm. So I look forward to more of that, Bucky working out his problems, having bad dates.
Yeah. And they didn't even meet each other. Falcon and Winter Soldier didn't have a single scene together in this episode.
They had no scenes.
Yeah.
It was They said like Falcon had, you know, contacted Bucky and he didn't answer his texts. Oh, missed connections.
Yeah.
Fun.
And it was cool to see Rhodey for like a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cameo, we did have little, some good.
Little Cheadle action.
Yes. Yeah. And we get to see the Shield. Obviously, Falcon decided he wasn't worthy. He's the unworthy Falcon, unworthy Captain America.
But then.
I know. Then we get.
U.S. agent, I guess.
Yeah, I did not expect to see.
Yeah.
And I U.S. agent, and now I get it. So Marvel recently relaunched a U.S. agent book, and I was like, why are they bringing back U.S. agent? Like, no one cares about this character. Apparently, this is why. So a little recap on U.S. agent. He first appeared in Captain America 323 as Super Patriot. He was later redesigned as a new incarnation of Captain America and a few years later as U.S. agent. He is also known as John Walker. And then also as, what did I say? Jack Daniels.
So yeah, that's real.
It's a real thing. Johnny Walker and Jack Daniels. They apparently thought that was real kitschy at Marvel. he's been on Forceworks, Dark Avengers, Defenders, The Mighty Avengers, and Omega Flight. Those are his affiliations, team affiliations.
Oh, and you know who's playing him?
That really ugly guy.
It's Wyatt Russell.
What is he? Yeah.
The son of Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn.
Oh, that's who he is.
Kurt
Russell.
Correct. and he was in... The one, I mean, I don't know if you saw the horror movie Overlord.
I did.
Okay, he's in that.
Yeah, we got free DVDs of those at Escapist.
Oh, great.
We handed them out to people. You could win a free DVD of Overlord.
And he had a supporting role in 22 Jump Street, but the main thing I know him from is from the Black Mirror episode Playtest.
As what?
The Black Mirror episode Playtest, where he's in the VR game that like shows your like nightmares or whatever.
Right. Good episode.
Yeah.
Oh, Black Mirror. Do you know creator of Black Mirror said he wasn't going to do any more Black Mirror right now because the world was too frightening as it is?
Yeah.
Direct quote.
I mean, he'd been doing British TV for the longest time, and he did a comedy special at the end of the year. I don't know if you saw that. It was on Amazon or something, or Netflix.
No.
Yeah, it wasn't very funny, but it had some good. he got a bunch of celebrities to like play silly characters doing commentary on what happened in 2020.
No.
He got like Samuel Jackson. Yeah. Yeah, I think he could. I mean, he'll just do another show that isn't Black Mirror, and it'll just be like something else.
So I mean, U.S. Agent he's good, right? Like he's not a bad guy in the comics.
A lot of people have compared him to Azrael from Batman.
Oh.
Like, he's fighting on the side of good, but he's, like, aggressive and dangerous and isn't really going to do what Cap wanted. What's definitely going to happen by the end of the show is that they're going to have a fight. They're going to beat him up. He's going to surrender. And then Sam Wilson's going to get a new costume that's red, white, and blue. You know, just like in the comics.
Right.
And it'll be
a
big reveal. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it'll be fucking cool.
Okay. Because he's definitely going to be bad. Yeah, in this for sure. I know.
Yeah, he's going to be like, he'll probably have like a few episodes where he's on the same team. Maybe they'll give us a huge swerve like with Agatha Harkness, because Agatha Harkness has always been a good guy in the comics.
Yeah.
And this time she's a straight up villain. So maybe they'll have US Agent be a straight up villain this time and be working with Zemo or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I think they're still going to bring Agatha Harkness back. For sure, because she didn't kill her. She's locked her up.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we got a bit of a... Like, it'd be... So, like, okay. I realize how this sounds, but I'm ready to be proven wrong, but I don't think that Marvel is going to make it a habit of referencing stuff that happens in the TV shows in the movies, because nothing that ever happened in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or the Netflix shows has been referenced in the movies.
Right.
Even though they said they were going to do that with the Netflix show specifically. I think someone said they were going to put Daredevil, Charlie Cox was going to be in Infinity War or something.
No. Except for Agent Coulson. They have mentioned, he's been in the shows and the movies. He was in Captain Marvel. Oh yeah, correction corner. Agent Coulson was in Captain Marvel.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that was took place before he died.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so he came back in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but he hasn't, right. that has not been referenced in any of the movies. Unless I right? Am I right?
No, because he was, and like, wasn't it, they talked about him in Age of Ultron or one of those.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So he is the only one, I think, that's like gone back and forth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they talk, on obviously in the shows, they talk about all the movie stuff.
Of course, yes, yeah. Because that's what, but like, it's like the movies are like the big crossover events and the shows are like the tie-in books, but the big crossover events don't have to reference what happens in the tie-ins. They can just sort of like.
Yeah. And the Netflix shows were obviously completely separate because that was a different network and everything. But.
Well, they talked about in the first season of Daredevil, they talked about the Battle of New York.
That's right. They did do that. But they couldn't
like. I think the
they couldn't
yeah,
like say
I think the
characters. They would say like the man with the shield or something like that, yeah. or like the big green guy. They could.
Yeah,
say
I think
stuff
the
like
idea
that.
Was that they did. They like if the business side of it had worked out a little bit differently, they might have been more explicit.
Right.
but yeah, that's yeah. just not what we got.
Yeah. But now that Marvel owns everything again, they own all of their rights back. They can finally do stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that.
Isn't Runaways, the Hulu show, also in the MCU?
Yeah, now, I mean, it should be able to because Hulu, Disney owns Hulu now. So
I watched the first episode. I think they made reference to like, oh yeah, there's like something about, crap, I don't remember.
It's okay.
But yeah, so my point is, I think that if they were to show Agatha Harkness in the Doctor Strange movie mm-hmm. and just go, oh yeah, she lives in Westview. She has, I turned her into this person with my powers and now she's going to, you know, help us in this thing. I don't know that that's something that like, I mean, to me, it's like how they released they leaked that Palpatine was coming back in Rise of Skywalker in a Fortnite exclusive event.
Did they really?
Yeah, they play like there's an audio clip. They got the guy who plays Palpatine, whose name I don't remember now, to record a unique piece of audio in character explaining what was going on and how he was back. And the only way you could have heard that is if you played a special Fortnite event.
Oh my God. That's gross. I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
Just how I don't like the upcoming Batman versus Fortnite comic that's coming out. Collect all six and you'll get an exclusive character. Yeah.
Is the character Batman?
No. Oh, okay. Maybe it is.
Fortnite doesn't have characters. Fortnite has like outfits. The character is you. It's just you're a guy.
Well, you get a Batman outfit or a Wonder Woman outfit, something like that. I don't know.
No, what I mean is, sorry, that was what I meant. What I meant was, what's Batman doing in this comic? Who is he interacting with? There's no character.
I have no idea. I don't play Fortnite, so I really don't know. But yeah, I did have to order them, and they're like in a special poly-bagged comic, and they're bringing back those too. So, luckily they made the first one returnable, so I could order like whatever and see like, but then I had to order the second one. I was like, I don't know how many I'm going to sell of these. And I don't care about the Fortnite codes or their cards. Whatever. Anyways, but all right. Speaking of things I don't care about, let's get into the Snyder Cut. Oh my God.
Let's do it.
This was so hard. So we're doing this part one because I tried 3 times to watch this and I fell asleep every single time. So
I got to say, I haven't watched it. I'm not going to watch it. I haven't watched a Zack Snyder DC movie since Man of Steel because I hated Man of Steel.
You didn't watch Batman v Superman?
Nope.
Oh, I thought you did. I thought we talked about that. Okay. Well, good
well
for
I
you.
Mean, the thing is, people would come into the store and here's the thing. If you work at I want everyone who goes to comic book stores to hear this. Just because I work at a comic book store doesn't mean I watch these shitty fucking movies. Like, I didn't go see The Wolverine, though I heard it was good. The one with the samurai, Silver Samurai or whatever. I'm gonna go see Suicide Squad because I like James Gunn and I like John Cena, and that's it.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like I have to. I don't know why. This was rough. Okay, so I made a lot of notes. So here we go. Just bear with me. So very opening. All right. First off, why is this not in widescreen? Wasn't this supposed to be in theaters? I feel like I'm watching a 90s blockbuster movie and not in a good way.
I don't like this disrespect for Zack Snyder's unique vision.
I believe the answer to this was it's like in 4:3 viewing because it's like, you know, master theatrical mode or whatever. I don't know.
Bullshit. It was supposed to be an IMAX.
Whatever.
Yeah, which is stupid.
It's on my widescreen television and it looks like, you know, I'm watching a 90s.
It looks wrong.
Movie. Yeah, it doesn't look good. It's all fucking black screen on both sides. Okay. 1948, I'm into it now. I'm realizing I don't remember anything about this movie because I did watch the original Justice League. Except sure. The Aquaman Bruce Wayne scene, which I'm pretty sure was in the trailers that I saw 1,000 times. It's going really well. Okay.
Right.
52 minutes in, and the somber music of Aquaman entering the water is so melodramatic. It just says, he is the king, and he is everything. It's like an indie song. I don't know. It just keeps repeating. He is the king, and he is everything.
This is like actual music. I thought the score was like,
There's a score and now they put in new music. This was not in the other cut. And it's like this like weird melodramatic song as he's like entering the water and going in the first time to meet like the other Atlanteans. And I'm like, what is this song? It's All right. An hour 45 or hour and 45 seconds. We finally get to the origin story of Darkseid, which I believe was in the original cut as well. I really don't remember.
No.
Okay, so while the battle is not bad in itself, like the Amazon stuff is fun, but it's very reminiscent of Lord of the Rings. But instead of beautiful, it looks like a cutscene from a bad video game. Zeus and Ares look like cartoon characters. I'm like, why aren't they actual actors? Why are they like giant video game people?
I don't know. Everything's just CGI. Like it's all, I mean, like Thanos looked cool.
Yeah.
But that's because they were mapping it to Josh Brolin. I don't even, who'd they get to play Thanos? I mean, excuse me, Darkseid.
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't that serious about looking into anything. Oh, okay. Darkseid doesn't look, like he looks like a, I mean, he looks okay. Like, I'm not gonna like go into that. But Zeus and Ares look absolutely terrible. Like, they're just supposed to be people. Like, bigger, stronger people. But like, the Atlanteans are people. The Amazons are people. Why aren't Zeus and Ares people?
I remember thinking Ares looked pretty bad in the first Wonder Woman.
Yeah, but not like this. Great. This is awful. Like, it looks like I'm playing a early 2000s video game and like it's bad and it's like that big, you know, like in Lord of the Rings Return of the King, it's a battle like that, like everyone's coming together and they're all fighting Darkseid and his like demons and you know we're getting to the mother boxes and everyone's, you know, they're all coming together, but it looks so terrible, like they just rushed everything. And everything is so Zack Snyder dark. It's a slow long battle, everyone's moving at a snail's pace, so I'm just like, I can't stay awake for this. So that's
what I loved about the fight at the end of Endgame. It took place at like what, 2:30 in the afternoon?
Yeah. And I do hear one of the reasons he does this is because it's cheaper. It, like if you do it at dark or like at twilight or whatever, it's like cost effective, I guess, for battle scenes.
I guess. I mean, like, I get why they did it with the big fight with the Night King in the last season of Game of Thrones, because it was night. Sure. Yeah. That was scary. But also, periodic parts of it. Oh, did I get signed out? What the hell?
I can see you.
Okay. And it's still recording. Okay, that's weird.
Yeah.
A thing popped up that said I've been signed in from another device. Sometimes Annie uses his account. Anyway. Yeah, I get why they did that, but like, because they wanted the fight to take place at night. I don't know. That sucks that he's cheaping out and saying, like, we'll just have everything be super dark and then we don't have to spend as much money.
I think that's just his style, too. I'm just guessing that's why they do it, because it's cheaper and more cost effective. Maybe it's the studio. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway.
I mean, 300 cool. looked fucking good.
Yeah.
And that had a lower budget than this movie.
Yeah. Well, maybe because they had to get it done fast. That would be my guess.
That's the other thing. If they just said, we're doing it, I don't know why. I don't know what the another thing that I heard people say is, because this movie was so long, they should have done it in two parts, like Kill Bill or Hunger Games or Harry Potter. Just like make two movies. It's not a huge slog to sit through.
Yeah.
And you can get and then maybe the second one could even be in theaters.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess. Okay. This is going to get long. So stop me if you have something to say.
Sure.
After the war scene, we cut directly into a Barry Allen introduction. Okay, I don't know why, like directly. It's just like, war scene ends, yay, they won. They killed Darkseid. Well, don't kill him, but you know, they defeat him. He leaves, he doesn't get the mother boxes. They all go into their different place. And then immediately we go into a Barry Allen introduction. Sure. So we get to see like a sign to Central City. There's some joke about how fast it is to get to Central City or something. I was like, was this in the original cut? Again, I failed to remember. So Barry is applying for a job as a dog walker. Why? I don't know. He's bumbling and anxious and very strange. I will always think Ezra Miller was a poor casting choice for this role, or maybe they're just telling him to play this very, very wrong. He seems nothing like a Barry Allen. So he sees Iris West for the first time as he's entering the shop and their eyes meet. Cue the dramatics. She gets into her car, and of course, we now know that this is leading up to a daring rescue, so we can see his use of powers for the first time. A semi driver has dropped his sandwich and loses control of his truck. He hits her car as she's driving off. Oh yeah, by the way, they're also locking eyes again through the window of the shop as she's driving away. Hey, Iris, watch the road.
Watch the fucking road.
Watch the road. There's a giant semi coming directly at your car. But no, she's driving and they're just like staring at each other through the window. All right. So now
I mean, like, I will say that now that I, because I only learned to drive this last September. I'm going to put that out there. I know how to drive now. But now I'm actually watching other people, how they drive. And I'm realizing that roughly one in three people are fully on their phones.
Oh, yeah.
So that this isn't as crazy to me as it would have been a few months ago. I'm totally like, yeah, nobody looks at what they're doing. I got in an accident a couple weeks ago because someone wasn't looking where they were going. Yeah, it was just a really minor dent. Everything's fine. But yeah, people don't look where they're fucking going.
No,
yeah, I'm completely fine. But I would have said something. It would have been out there if I was like, hey, everybody, all my bones are gone. No, it's a pretty minor dent. I don't know. I'm not even going to involve insurance. I don't give a shit. Okay. The car's 100 years old anyway. That's fine. But yeah, people don't look where they're fucking driving. They so this movie is a documentary as far as I'm concerned.
True. Except usually they're looking at their phones, not staring into a store at another stranger's eyes for like 3 minutes.
So to be more realistic, it should have been they both had their phones out and were looking at photos of each other on the other one's phone.
True. Perfect. I would have believed that more. Okay. So now Barry must use his super fast powers to save her. But in Snyderland, they are anything but fast. Instead, we go super slow-mo, kind of like they did in Smallville, to show us how time stands still in the Speed Force for our hero. Cue the sad music for some reason. So this goes on for about 5 minutes. He finally saves her and gets the job done. So basically, like, the semi hits her car. Like, she, like, flies out of the car again super dramatically. Mm-hmm. Like, they show the Speed Force. Also, ridiculous, the semi also hits a hot dog cart, right? Remember, he's doing a dog walking interview. He grabs the hot dog, also fixes her hair while they're in, pushes her hair away, and then, like, cups her, like, in his arms, and then like slowly puts her on the ground. This literally takes 5 minutes while again another weird indie song is playing.
Yeah.
5 minutes this rescue takes. Oh my god. And then yeah, puts her down, rushes back into the dog walking place, and is giving all of the dog little pieces of hot dogs, and gets the job at the end.
That's cannibalism.
It's yeah. It's grueling. All right, so that's the end of that scene.
Sucks. Okay.
Then we go, finally.
So he's not, quick question. Yeah. Do they, I mean, I haven't seen any of these movies. Mm-hmm. Have they established where his powers come from? Why isn't he a fucking forensic scientist?
Uh-huh, no.
Any of that, anything?
No, so that doesn't happen.
Okay.
At some point in the movie, I think I had fallen asleep at this point though. He's talking to Bruce and he's trying, I'm sorry. He talks to his father, who is in jail, just like in the TV show.
Oh, yeah. And in the comics,
I think. In the comics, too, yeah.
Barry Allen's dad is a criminal.
Yeah, so he's in jail because of his mother, you know, that his father gets framed for killing his mother. And he's going to try to go to school to be a forensic scientist.
Sure.
That does happen in the movie. I think I woke up at some point and saw that happening. And I was like, oh, that's happened. Okay. Okay. So at 1:13 and 36 seconds, we get back to Bruce and Diana discussing building their team of super friends, blah, blah, blah. 1:17, we get to, okay. So this is a big part of the story that did not happen, I am sure, because we talk about it a lot. We get to Victor Stone, or as Diana points out, Cyborg. So they're like, see a bunch of videos of all of the characters. They're like, oh, this is Aquaman, and this is the Flash, or Barry Allen, and this is Victor Stone. And she's like, he is Cyborg. And this is who we want to recruit to our teams. And then they go into an origin story, like directly into the origin story of Cyborg, which did not happen because we know that Cyborg was cut mostly out of the movie.
Yeah.
So again... immediately go into more slow-mo shots of Victor playing football in the snow. It's again another 5 minutes of lots of slow-mo football, just like him jumping around and like winning the football game.
It could have been, remember in Napoleon Dynamite when Uncle Rico is just throwing the football at his video camera and we instantly know who this guy is?
Yes.
It could have been Cyborg throwing a football at a robot. Boom.
I will also say this is probably the only time we see him smile in the entire movie is when he's playing football and he wins the game and he's like, yay! And then he sees his mother and the crowd and then an empty seat where his father is sitting and the smile goes away. And that's the last time we see him smile.
He's a very tragic character. The only time he's ever happy is in the Teen Titans animated series.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, what about in the early Teen Titans, like George Perez Teen Titans?
I just remember reading his origin and how his dad like saved his life by making him a cyborg and how he was like, you should have let me die.
Yeah, that's in this too.
Yeah.
So we go through all of that basically, like they get in the car accident, mom dies, then his dad turns him into the cyborg.
His dad's like, I was out of arms, so now it's a white sound cannon. Is that okay?
All right.
Yeah.
Your whole body is now made of some weird metal that looks terrible on camera. Is that all right? So sorry. Yeah. So and he's like learning to use his body. And his dad like gives him this whole moral lesson on a handheld recorder or something. I don't know. So
sure.
Yeah. And then like we get to see him go into cyberspace and that he can control nuclear bombs and all of the money in the world.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay, so he can do all of these super powerful things, but then his dad's like, but don't do that. Be a good guy. Don't do that.
Right.
And so what does he immediately do? He goes, sees like this mother and her son struggling, and he goes and gives her $100,000 like at her bank, And I'm like, so he's immediately, I mean, I get it. Like Robin Hood style, right? Like sad.
Or beginning of Terminator 2 with the fucking ATM thing.
Yeah. It's like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
He goes and steals money from the bank and gives it to her. And I'm like, yeah. All right, well, sure. So yeah. So he's a thief and a superhero.
Right.
And then I fell asleep.
Sure. Well, tune in to next episode of Escapist Podcast for more of what Jessica remembers. we're dividing it up into two parts, which is what Zack Snyder should have done.
Yeah, definitely. I woke up after like a little while, like really disoriented, and there was all of this like bang, 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 like big battle going on, and like Superman was there, and I was like, oh, I don't remember anything of this. Yeah. Why is he in a black suit? We'll find out next time. Why is he wearing a black suit? Why is he alive even? I don't know.
Well, he died. Oh, yeah, sure. He died in Batman v Superman, right? And then this movie's about bringing him back and having him forming the team. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I don't think he ever died. I think it's very Doomsday reminiscent of him not dying.
Yeah, it's like Kryptonians can't die. They can only go into hypersleep or some shit.
Yeah. I think he was on the Kent farm the whole time.
Oh, okay.
Also, Lois is pregnant. Ugh. That's what I also looked up, and she at one point, and she's like reading a pregnancy test and saying that she was actually pregnant.
And it's Clark's baby. It's Superman's baby.
I mean, I hope so. I mean, maybe it's Bruce's. He does get around.
The one thing, oh God, they dated in Superman the Animated Series, and that was fucking cool.
It was.
Have you watched the new Superman and Lois show?
I watched the first episode. I really liked it.
Okay.
There's one. The first episode's two episodes, but yeah. Did you watch it?
No.
Oh, it's good. Okay. It's weird though. So Jonathan and Jordan Kent are the kids.
Okay. And they're their kids?
They're their kids. Yeah. So it takes place like in the future.
Okay.
Basically. And yeah, the kids are teenagers in it. And basically Lois and him decide that they need to get away from Metropolis, move back to the Kent farm. Mm-hmm. And raise the kids there because it's been a little crazy in the city. And the kids haven't developed any powers yet in the first episode, but they're worried that one of the kids is going to develop powers and the other kid is not. And so that's yeah. So
that was literally one of the imaginary stories from like the 50s or something.
Yeah, that's what they took it from. It's really, really good. And I don't want to spoil it to tell you which one does and which one doesn't. But sure. That's what happens in the very first. So, like I said, it's split into two episodes, and it happens at the end of the very first episode.
Okay.
But it was really endearing, and he's a very good Superman, and I think she's a really good Lois. And then also in the very first episode, he wears like the 1940s Superman outfit, like the George Reeves.
Oh,
outfit.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, and nice.
He does like the whole Action Comics, like he raises the car up and stuff, because it shows him like the history of all of the Superman comics. And like what he's done throughout his life and stuff. It's really, really good. Yeah.
All right.
I recommend it.
I'd check that out. Okay, yeah. Cool. The one thing I want to say about these movies and everything is, and this is sort of tying into Falcon Winter Soldier. So I read a little thing with Ed Brubaker where they asked him what he thought about the show. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I heard about it.
And he's like, it's fine, but they're not giving me any money. So then the same piece I read called back to a separate Jim Starlin interview, who, keep in mind, listener, that Jim Starlin is the sole creative credit for Thanos, Drax, and Gamora. Mm-hmm. Thanos, one of the biggest villains now in just movies.
Yeah.
And Drax and Gamora, who the stars of the Guardian series, received basically no money for his movies. However, DC did cut him a check because he also co-created KG Beast, and KG Beast had a very minor role in Batman v Superman. And even though he didn't have any lines, he didn't really look like himself, and his powers didn't really replicate what his powers were. They're still like, we put KG Beast in the movie, and Jim Starlin made more money from that than he did from Infinity War and being put together.
Really?
Yep.
Holy shit. So good on DC for doing that.
Yeah.
Wow, Marvel's fucked up.
So I wonder how much, I mean, there's been a huge amount of talk from the Kirby estate about how because especially if you read the Tom Scioli Jack Kirby book that came out last year.
Oh yeah.
You know how much how Jack did so much and Stan did so little compared to how Stan tells it. Mm-hmm. So I, and they were talking about like, how come we should get all this money for Avengers? We should get all this money for not Guardians. I mean, just everything, Iron Man, Thor, everything.
Yeah.
But now they're making Darkseid movies. So I wonder if they've made more money as well. If DC's like, no, we need to give, if we're going to make a movie with Mother Box and Darkseid and Steppenwolf and Parademons and shit, that we should hook it up.
Yeah. Oh, and they're making a new Gods movie too. So
yeah. Eventually, yeah. I'll see that. I'll check that out.
Yeah.
Unless it's Zack Snyder, and then I won't.
It's not. It's Ava DuVernay.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Which her first movie, not so good, but.
Wrinkle in Time, right?
Wrinkle in Time, yeah. It was really bad, actually. But, you know, maybe your second go around will be a lot better.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
If the lighting's good. Just don't forget the lighting. Hey, look. DC movies can't be good. Wonder Woman was great.
Yeah.
Shazam was fun.
Yeah.
I've heard good things about Aquaman, but I haven't seen it yet.
I loved Birds of Prey.
I haven't seen that yet either. That's one I really got to check out.
It's on HBO Max.
And the Pirate Bay.
Is that still a thing?
Yeah, definitely. I'm not giving my money. Like HBO Max is a whole bunch of movies I'm going to watch, but there's no way that I'm going to take money out of my bank account so that I can watch the new Space Jam. There's no way that's happening.
I will. Yeah. Mark's still trying to get me to watch Tom and Jerry, the new Tom and Jerry. I'm like, who is that for?
Mark, I guess.
Yes.
Was he in a focus group you didn't know about? They're like, which Hanna-Barbera property do you think you should go back? He'd be like, oh, well, Tom and Jerry, of course.
I still don't understand it. I will never understand that. It's definitely for our two customers that just come in on Monday and hang out with Paul.
Sure. Sometimes when I'm on Facebook on my phone, I see ads for that movie, but Tom and Jerry aren't like the focal point of the ads. It's Chloe Grace Moritz.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like when I scroll through, because it, you know, it picks a thumbnail, and then if you linger on it, then it'll play the ad. The thumbnail is her making a shocked face. I'm like,
strange.
Like Colin Jost is in that movie too, and he was doing interviews, and people are like, "Yeah, the question I get most is, are you Tom or Jerry?" And he's like, "No, I'm the human."
Oh, before we go, too, I wanted to let you know that I watched The Wilds.
What'd you think?
I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the second season. Tell me there's a second season.
It has been renewed.
Yay!
Yeah. I don't know how production's going, but you know, yeah, it's really fucking good, right?
It's so good. I couldn't stop watching it once I finally started it. And I got to that last episode and I was like, I need to know what happened.
Yeah. The last episode reveal, that final reveal is like, oh, fucking cool. Like, yeah, it's great.
So listeners, definitely go check out The Wilds on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
You will not regret it.
Yeah.
It's better kind of like Lady Lord of the Flies, basically. Ish.
Yeah. But with like a cool twist.
Yeah.
It is what you cool find twist. Out at the end cool of the first episode.
I just don't want to, like, talking about it too much will reveal the twist, basically.
I went into it basically thinking like, oh, they're just on a desert island. I keep telling my friends about it. My one friend in particular who keeps bringing up the Simpsons episode where they get stranded on a desert island, Das Bus. And he's like, and how Bart has this whole bit about, oh, we can curse now. There's no parents around. Damn, hell, ass.
Exactly.
I'm like, but it's better than that.
It is better than that, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there is all sorts of fun twists throughout the show as well.
Mm-hmm.
That you would never guess, too.
They took a group of, how many girls are there? Seven.
In the beginning? Eight. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, nine. Oh, no, there's
nine.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. There's nine, and then yeah, they take these eight, all eight of them have a great motivation, a great arc, a great, like, they all, yeah, it's one of the best shows.
Part, without spoiling anything too, with the best part of the show is each of them having their own episodes too, so nobody's really the star of the show, which is great. Everyone has their own arc, which is great.
I mean, there is kind of like, what's her name from the first episode is sort of like the audience representative in a way.
I think throughout, though, she kind of like maybe just like the first couple episodes, and then
there
she
are episodes.
Yeah.
There are episodes where she just sort of fades into the background and is like just part of the Greek chorus, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, it's very fucking good. Like, I try not to binge shows anymore, but we watched the last three episodes in one night.
Oh yeah. I couldn't wait anymore too. Yeah. I think I watched the last three as well, just right off.
Yeah. It's fucking good. All right.
I think that's gonna have to do it for tonight.
Cool. Swing by Escapist Podcast, Escapist Comic Book Store.
Escapist Comic Book Store,
3090 Claremont Avenue. Or call 510-65-COMIC. I listed you guys as a reference lately, so I just re-looked up the phone number.
Woohoo!
Thanks for listening to the Escapist Comic Podcast. I'm Jacob Rubin.
I'm Jessica Balboni.
And we'll talk to you later.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Escape, bye.
One day.